HarperCollins presents White Terror, a true story of murder, bombings, and Germany's far right, by Jacob Kushner, read by Samantha Dez. To the victims of prejudice and the targets of terror. A note on sources. Due to the volume of sources consulted while researching this book, I have included only a selection of the nearly 2,000 original citations, omitting ones for information that is widely available or can easily be verified. Sources I returned to repeatedly, federal and state parliamentary investigations, trial logs, my own interviews, I cited just once per chapter. I attempted to reach all of the people who appear prominently in the book, including the families of the murdered men, to invite them to speak with me. I also attempted to reach frequently named individuals accused of serious criminality or of aiding the NSU and officials accused of negligence to offer the right of reply. We started our new lives and tried to follow as closely as possible all the good advice our saviors passed on to us. We were told to forget, and we forgot quicker than anybody ever could imagine. After 4 weeks in France or 6 weeks in America, we pretended to be Frenchmen or Americans. Hannah Arendt, We Refugees. Always start off small. Many small victories are better than one huge blunder. If you never get caught, you are better than any army. Others will notice your activities, but never try to take any credit for them. Your success should be all the recognition you need. Tom Metzger, Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon, Laws for the Lone Wolf. Prologue. A Fiery End. One autumn afternoon in the German town of Zwickau, a woman splashed 10 liters of gasoline around her apartment, then set it on fire. She had been dreading this day for years, hoping it wouldn't come to this. But on November 4th, 2011, it did, and she needed to act quickly to save her two cats from the flames. Their names were Lily and Heidi. One was black with white spots on its paws, while the other had gray and black stripes. She scooped them up, put them in their carriers, and walked downstairs to the street. A passing neighbor recognized the woman by her strikingly long dark hair. Everyone seemed to fixate on this feature, perhaps because nothing else about her seemed distinct. She was 5'5", the average height of women in Germany. She was neither heavy set nor slim. Her face was wide, flat, expressionless, with thin lips and hazel eyes. Later, when her face became famous across Germany, there was one trait that nobody seemed to use to describe her, which was strange because it was the only one that mattered. The woman was white. 4 years later, at the trial that would captivate the country, the white woman would claim that she waited to set the fire until the two men renovating the building's attic left for a break, so they wouldn't be hurt. That she had tried to warn the older lady who lived downstairs, who sometimes looked after the cats when she was away, buzzing and knocking hard on her door to tell her to run from the flames. Her lawyer would tell a courtroom packed with judges, prosecutors, lawyers, journalists, neo-Nazis, and police, that she'd taken great care to save lives the day she set the fire. The lives of other white Germans and her two precious cats. She wouldn't have needed to set the fire if only the 15th bank robbery had gone as well as the 14 before it. For over a decade, her two best friends and sometimes lovers had been robbing banks at gunpoint in towns across Germany. On their previous heist, the two men, who shared the same first name, had walked in carrying two pistols, a revolver, and a hand grenade, one wearing a vampire mask and the other a ski mask. They walked out with 15,000 euros in cash, making their getaway as they always did, on bicycles. Over the years, they'd stolen hundreds of thousands of Deutschmarks and euros.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?